We just praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you. This week, Lord, come together to your word. Lord, you are here to quicken us by your Holy Spirit, to give us a revelation, and understanding that we may put to work your word in our hearts, Lord, and in our minds, and in our bodies, Lord, to manifest your power, Lord. We thank you and praise you that we can come together, that we can worship you, that we can come before you, Lord. But we know, Lord, that you are also inside us, and from there, Lord, you minister to us eternal life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we're talking about preparations for the time that Jesus come back. Understanding, you know, everybody talks about he's coming back soon, or at least many do. They want at least to pick it up. But there is more for us to know. We need to know what to do. We need to know how to be ready for his coming back. This is important. We have to have the vision, the revelation for what is required and what is like is coming. Okay, the word, you know, in Proverbs 29:18 says very clearly that where there is no revelation, the people can cast out restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Well, who keeps the word. The revelation, really, the word in Hebrew is kozon. You know, that actually means, you know, dreams, means vision, means understanding, you know, be able to see what God's plan is. Okay. And, you know, but to do that, we need to connect with the source. This is the key for us to get anywhere spiritually. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own reasoning. It's not by our own power. It's his power. But he has provided that for us much better than when Proverbs 29:18 was written. We have the Holy Spirit inside us now to guide us and to enable us to do. You see, we need knowledge to be able to navigate the times we are in. And knowledge comes from that revelation of the Holy Spirit inside us, enabling us to know what to do, when is the time. It's not just everything is going to work all right, you know. It's not Pollyanna-sizing Christianity. It's the fact that, you know, the situation is going to be difficult, but we are going to be provided for what we need. If we keep our connection with him so that he can communicate with us and we hear it, we get the right direction, we know what to do, and he guides us to victory. That's what makes the difference. Okay? This is why, you know, my people is perished because of or destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay? But you see, the lack of knowledge doesn't come just like that. It comes because, you know, it says it there. You have rejected knowledge. See, if we have our own ideas and God says something else and we stick with our own ideas instead of listening to what the Word is saying and the Holy Spirit is trying to show us, then we're going to get nowhere, and the one that is blocking the revelation is us and not him. He speaks all the time. He's never quiet. He has always something to say, but are we really open to listen? That's the key. That's what makes the difference. Okay? And that's the way that he can minister to us, because he ministers to us to the degree that our heart is open to receive. That's all. Okay? We have to understand God's plan. God's plan is really two things. Okay? evangelizing, bringing the good news to others, and discipleship. That means, you know, being discipled, being taught, being, you know, instructed on how to do the things that he said we should do. Okay, we had to implement that in our life, okay? And, you know, that means take God's word and see how to put it to work in our situation, in our life, okay? We covered that mostly on all the meetings, but, you know, particularly we try to do in a more detailed way on the Thursday night meeting, which we spend lots of time, you know, going through scriptures and expanding them and showing them. It's very important that, unfortunately, you know, not many can come, but the point is, you know, that's where you can get more information about the things we say on Sunday, okay? Now, you know, the fact that we know scripture doesn't mean anything. Is to let the scripture work in you. To allow the scripture to produce results. To respond to what the scriptures say. You can memorize the whole Bible and just keep it on the level of the mind and don't do anything with it. It's when you start doing something that something starts to happen. It's when you even do the wrong thing. Okay, it doesn't matter if your real intention is to try to apply it. Because by the result you get, you'll get the feedback that you need. When you do the right thing, then you're going to get the results. When you do the wrong thing with it, you're not going to get the results, and it's no use for you to keep hammering or working hard in the same way. You have to change something. So even when you don't get a clear revelation, but you get nowhere, you know that what you were doing wasn't quite correct. Because the word of God is true. And we had to open up to the Spirit of God to be able to receive that and not just get stuck in our own ideas. Okay? We need to learn to read and meditate on the scriptures until they open up to us. That's the way it was done from the very beginning. That's the way we had to do today. That one makes enormous difference in our life. You see, being in God's presence, when you meditate on the scriptures, you are in God's presence because you are there focused on his word. And his word and his word are together, are one. Jesus said, I and him are one. So this is the thing that we had to understand and be able to do. Really, this is how you really implement a discipleship by really applying the word and having feedback on what you are doing. You need that feedback. Check the feedback that you get. And sometimes, you know, and that's important to have, is actually others that have been there before you that are going to help you. This is why we are not in isolation. God created a body down here for working together, for working on each other, helping to people to get results. Doesn't mean constraining. See, discipleship is not just Bible study. Discipleship is mostly application and feedback. And if sometimes we need somebody to actually give us verbal feedback because we just get stuck. Okay. Thing is, you know, today most of the church doesn't work that way, doesn't function that way, you know, just people sitting there and thinking they're going to get something, and maybe they even get, you know, feeling good, but they go out and they've got back at the same place they were before. And that means you haven't got very much. Because if really got a touch from God, you're not going to be the same anymore. You cannot remain the same when you get touched by God. Because there is permanent change taking place inside you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to go too much into that. So this is, but really understanding, this is important now. And the reason why it's important now, because if Jesus is coming, this is the time we had to do, is a time of preparation for what is coming. Understanding what is required for us to do. Okay. This is why, you know, this is a time that from the very beginning, from Adam, fell, you know, has been waiting for. Jesus actually fulfilling his ministry. He did the first part. His first coming, he said it is finished. But it's not completely finished because we are not where we were before. God's intention, God's plan, the vision and the plan that he has for us is to be the same as Adam before he fell. Hello? I mean, do you know what that means? We cannot grasp or put our mind around that. But that is God's plan. Beyond what we can expect or think. And it's not difficult. It's not that we had to get, you know, go to take courses. Courses don't do it. See, discipleship is not courses. You cannot have a course in discipleship, period. Because discipleship is a lifelong experience. You're always a disciple until you become like Jesus. So you cannot do a course calling discipleship and think that you get there because you read some Bible. It's not the Bible, it's not even understanding, it's a question of how you put it to work and what results you're going to get. Are you following me? This is critical. Otherwise, we are just falling back into religion, and who wants to go there? Anybody? Okay, good. Because it's a waste of time. Okay? What we want to do is understand, okay, that the whole, you know, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. This is what everything is moving toward. There is this expectation that's been going on for all this time. And we had to get excited with it and be willing to get involved in it and do the things that is required, because it's not going to, you know, God doesn't do anything by himself. The only way that God works is through us as we exercise our faith. So it's not even, you know, if we are there and are not exercising our faith, okay, we are not going to progress, we are not going to do anything. When you put your faith to work, that's when you are learning something. The only way you can please God is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But you know, seeking him, you can seek God instead of with faith, you know, with the wrong attitude. And when you do that, you get nowhere. Because it's not in faith. We need to seek God in faith, believing that he is listening and that he is answering. See, faith is a decision we make. We believe, we You see, faith is nothing else than believing what God said. Making that decision makes all the difference in terms of what the result we are going to get and the way God is going to respond to us. Okay. You know, the scripture that lots of people have even problem teaching about it, and they always find excuses around, is John 14, 12. Okay. John 14, 12. Okay. So most assuredly I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do shall do also, and even greater work than this shall do, because I go to my Father. Okay. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay. That is actually literally going to be satisfied or fulfilled only at the time in which we are applying ourselves to be becoming like him. I have to repeat that. See, if you want to get the same results that Jesus had, you cannot do that by just simply doing something that you feel like doing. You have to be like him. Or at least to a certain degree, and to the degree that you are like him, you're going to get results. To the moment, at the moment in which you are operating like he did, you're going to get results. Otherwise, you are not going to. Because really, it's a question of really having your faith working and trusting in the Father. See, trusting in the Father is the key. Starting connected with the Holy Spirit is the way, and is no other way. It's not a question, you know, just I believe, you know, and yeah, let's see how much you believe and how much you unbelieve at the same time. How many other wrong beliefs you have on the same time that contradict what you are trying to believe for, because that's what you want. There are lots of things that need to be worked out within ourselves to have that manifestation fully. And that God desires to have full manifestation of that, because he wants sons. Jesus came not to get so that your sins are only forgiven. Jesus came so that you become a son. That means a grown-up child of God. See, when we start understanding that, okay, we understand that it's not our own effort, not our own, action, not our own flesh. Our flesh will never achieve that. So the only way to get even close to that, or even partially close to that, is to the degree in which we deal with our flesh and we just put it on the side and start operating in the Spirit. If we understand what operating in the Spirit means, that's the key things. See, we tend to do things the way we are trained to do things, by our own thinking, by our own mind, by our own ideas. And this here instead is not that way that we had to operate. We had to start operating and thinking the way God thinks, that which is the Word of God, and start rejecting any other things that is contrary to that. And that's what Jesus did. And we are going to see that much more in detail. Okay. But there are so many scriptures, okay, that we can understand. You know, connect to connect, that you have to start applying, that you have to start walking. See, that's really the key, the walk, as our walk. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Okay, that's what makes the difference. And so we had to understand what is walking by faith, and it's a choice we had to make, the way we walk and not to walk in the flesh, the way to walk that we are comfortable with. See, because walking by faith is not necessarily comfortable. Because it's a choice we had to make against our own flesh. Okay? And our flesh doesn't like to be told what it has to do. Because it's the way we think. That's the way we are trained to think in the world. That's the way the flesh is. Okay? So, the key things that we are going to see, okay, that to be able to fulfill John 14, 12, and the following two scripture about the things that we, you know, the work that you do, shall we do also. We had to have Jesus' understanding about to move in the Spirit. Because you cannot exercise faith in something you don't understand. You may not know how to do it, but you have to understand how to exercise faith. And there are many scriptures that shows us how we can start determining how we are going to exercise faith. Okay. You know, one of the things that has to happen, okay, that we have to clean ourselves up. That means changing the way we think and changing our desires. In Ephesians chapter, I mean, there is so many scripture, but, you know, we can summarize and reduce to a number of few key things. You know, in chapter Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 25 says, husband, love your wife. That has nothing to do with what. Well, that's something that we had to do if we want to please the Lord. But that's not the focus of what I'm going to talk about now. Okay, I'm saying, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You see, Jesus paid the ultimate price with his own life. Okay, and what do you think that he expects from us in return? Do you think that he just doesn't care what you do? He expects for us to have just the same type of commitment that he made, because he made a commitment that was a full commitment. You had to have the same full commitment with Jesus if you want to get those results. See, believing in Jesus doesn't simply mean, you know, oh, I believe Jesus. Yeah, he was existed 2,000 years ago. Big deal. What you do, you have to believe, is what Jesus actually achieved and did, and the impact that it can have now on you, and the things that you have to respond to that, what he did. There is a response on our part on what he did. It's not just a question of finding a way to get blessed. That's not maybe good for baby Christians. But God expects much more. You know, even babies get blessed by their parents when they're young. But what if they do just the same thing when they're, you know, 2 months old, when they're 20 years old, you know, they're not going to get much blessings. I hope so. Otherwise, the problem is with the parents. Are you following what I'm saying? God has certain expectations on us to give us, because, you know, he's not make any difference for different people. Treat everybody the same. Okay? But the fact that he treats everybody the same means that, you know, he's going to reward us according to what you've done. He's not going to, you know, as I often say, God is not democratic. I mean, he's not everybody the same. God deals with us according to the degree of faith that we exercise, the degree in which we are pleasing him. So if you want to get more blessed, you have to exercise more faith. But to exercise more faith is not something that is easy to do when you do it in the flesh. You know, it's a spiritual thing, so you have to start developing your spiritual muscle. Okay, to be able to do that, because there is always within you two sides. Faith, which is believing the word of God, and unbelief, which is not believing the word of God. And you have to choose where you stand. And when you stand on one of the sides, you have to stay there, because if you just keep flipping back and forth, it's like you're doing nothing. You're wasting your time. So, you know, we shall not be moved if we want to get somewhere. Okay? Now, okay. So let me continue what I was reading before about Ephesians 5:25. We're going to 26 now. That he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water, of the word, by the word. So the idea, you see, this is what he did. Okay? He gave himself so that he doesn't just stop there. You see, gave himself so that we can be forgiven. But didn't stop there. He said, so that we can be washed by the word, cleansed and sanctified. You know, and cleansing is just a question of removing the dirt from the water, washing, you know, but you have to apply the water to ourselves. You apply the word to ourselves to see where the dirt is and to remove it from that, making decisions. There is always involved decision that you make to repentance and other things to move beyond the part that they need to be changed. Okay? And sanctification is nothing else than the separation. And this is important because you cannot be cleansed if you don't sanctify yourself. Okay, sanctification involves separation from the world. As you separate from the world, then you can clean yourself. Otherwise, you're going to get dirt all the time back because of the exposure you have. The way they think, the ways they do things, that is not going to work for you. And you're going to be brought back always to the ground level of getting nowhere, because that's what happens out there. Are you still with me? So that's what we need to understand. You see, God's word, okay, should work in us after we receive what Jesus has done for us to cleanse us from the things that the wrong thinking, the wrong behavior, the wrong attitudes, the wrong judgment of things that we may have inside ourselves, and you want to change that so that even your desires are going to change. Okay, that cleansing is really important. Involves repentance, involves decisions, involves crucifying the flesh, okay, and his desire. See, that is what's going to bring about the ability to control your thoughts, have self-control, which is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and be able to progress in getting results. Results are not going to happen by our effort. We cannot make ourselves better. The only way we can make ourselves better is in connection with God, in the presence of God, when God works in us and he changes us and we are saying yes. We are willing to get along with that, with his direction. Okay. Continue, verse 17. I just finished. No, yeah, sorry. Ephesians 5:27. You see, that he may present her, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So you see, that's the goal. That's the vision we have to have within ourselves. That's what we are shooting for. And what we can do, you know, we cannot do it ourselves. That's the point. That's what the thing we have to understand. It's not how much, you know, religious you get. The more religious you get, you're farther away, because you're doing it yourself in your own mentality, in your own thing, according to the thing you do, instead of being connected with God. is the connection with God. That's how Jesus did the things that he did. How did he do? What did he say? I only do what I see my Father doing. That was only a question of position that he took, an attitude that he took, and he conserved and kept. And every moment he was depending on the Father to know what to do. He wasn't trying to do things to get to point, to get brownies with God, to get other things so that to get blessings. No, he was just connecting with the Father. And he expects the same thing for us to do. Read John chapter 17. Maybe we can read something today, maybe not. Okay. But the idea is this, okay, that he wants us, okay, to be prepared. When he's coming, you see, at his coming, he is waiting for a church without spot and wrinkle. So we had to get without spot and wrinkle if you want to get there. But we cannot do that religiously because religion never got anybody clean. You don't get victory through religion. You get victory through become one with him. That's what he wants. That we may be one. That was the prayer that he did for the church. As he and the Father are one. How are you going to do that? In the flesh? Forget it. It's not a question of ignoring the differences. Ignoring the differences just creates more problems. It's a question of connecting with the Father and allowing the Father to change us and to transform us and not to be conformed to the world but be transformed by the renewal of the mind, which is actually the process that is much more than studying the Bible. It's just applying the Bible to ourselves, being in the body of Christ so that we can get ministered to and we minister to others and we lose selfishness. We cannot be self-centered and serve God. Because we are going to serve God because we are self-centered. And that's religion. Are you following what I'm saying? See, Jesus said, you know, unless you die to the flesh, to the self, you're not going to get anywhere. Now, this is, you know, the first most important starting point of change is a change in character that has to take place in us. Okay. And it's given in Matthew chapter 20, okay, verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. See, the exercising authority is the way of the world. Okay. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desire to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desire to be first among you, let him be your slave. And that you see, this is opposite. You know, the world upside down. Okay, it's not the way we think. It's not our natural way. Or better, I should correct myself. This is not the natural way of the unregenerated person. This should be the natural way of the born-again believer. You see, that's the natural way of the spirit. And it's not the natural way of the flesh. So when we don't respond, we don't feel that way, what we are doing is operating in the flesh instead of operating in the spirit. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You see, that is a very, you know, that's a very clear and simple rule by which we can operate and know, you know, what are we trying to do? Who do you think What do you want? Okay. Asking yourself that way. So, and Jesus gave the example as himself, verse 28. Just, so you know, be you slave. Just as the Son of Man, was talking about himself, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So you see the attitude that is required for us to acquire. Okay? That goes against all the flesh inside us. This is not even a great, you know, theological difficult concept to understand. That is a very practical, down-to-earth thing. Looking at yourself and see, you know, how am I relating, how am I responding to the people around me? And this is really what is the first characteristics that Jesus type character had. See, he came to give his life for others and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, talking about becoming like Jesus, that's the first thing that we have to try to do. Okay? That means, you know, that's going to help us enormously when we understand that this is really number one thing. Forget about all the other theology, because there is a lot of it. Okay? This is a very down-to-earth attitude, basic, that we have to embrace. And we had to simply do what? Respond to that, move in that direction, and your flesh is not going to like it because this is contrary to the flesh. Anybody would agree with that? Okay. I mean, that's the opposite of what our ego wants to do. We want to be important. We want to be special. We want to be, you know, better than everybody else. Well, you're better than everybody else if you're just willing to give yourself for them, the way Jesus did. See, so, I mean, when you start doing that, I'll give you a practical example here. Okay, if you're ministering to somebody, when you are ministering and you are, you know, maybe praying for healing or praying for something that they receive something, what are you thinking of? They're going to get or not get because I'm going to look bad. Or are you instead saying, you know, caring about them, not thinking about yourself or the way you're going to look if the whole thing flops? Hello? See, that is going to be in the mind of everybody that tries to minister to anybody. Because the flesh, everybody has a remnant of the flesh working in them. Are you following me? Well, unless you break through that attitude, you are operating in the flesh. Okay? And you have to start focusing yourself not on yourself, but on others. Okay? So that's the first, number one. This is nothing else. I mean, this is nothing else than the second commandment that Jesus did. This is like the first one. Loving God and loving, you know, your neighbor as yourself, you're just the equivalent thing, because actually this is the way you let God work in you. Are you still with me? Okay. So, those are things that we can start applying to ourselves, and to, they will produce results right away. Because, you know, your attitude, which is really the key things according to which we operate, and we that is easy enough to recognize. All the other things, motivation is difficult, but attitude is easy. Okay? Your attitude is going to be operating in you, and when you're doing anything, you know where you are. So you know you're walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. Now, my goodness. All right. Let's continue here. Okay. What we have to understand, and that the manifestation of John 14:12 is going to be a reality in our life to the degree that we are close, okay, to be ready for Jesus coming. I want to say even more. There's going to be full manifestation of the way Jesus is and was in our life by the time Jesus comes. I mean, we are going to see and know that the time is then because we are walking as sons with the same results that he had, because then we are ready to do the work that he is required to do. What he expected, a church without spot and wrinkle. That goes together. What I'm telling you, maybe it's the first time you heard something like that, but that's exactly what I was reading before. When, you know, he's waiting for a church, you know, he's preparing a church without spot and wrinkle. Okay, that is fully sanctified and fully cleansed. Now, the problem is, you say, well, is that fair? Some people are up here, some other people are down there. Well, yeah. Just because God is fair. That's what they were, you know, not everybody's going to get the same thing. You get according to what you put in. The sowing or... you know, the law of sowing and reaping. That's the way it works. Now, it's up to you to get prepared. Because the only thing that stops you, it's yourself. You can be as close to getting to the place where you have to get according to your own commitment to the process and the time you're in. Okay, once wasn't like this. You know, now is the time is closer, so, you know, there is much more understanding, there is much more preparation, there is, you know, lots of things changed in the last 100 years. And where we can get now, quickly, for somebody who comes to the Lord, is much farther than, say, for example, when I came to the Lord in the 72. Why? Because Jesus is coming. And he's opening up general revelation to just about anybody. There is much more understanding about spiritual things and you know, spiritual principle than there have been before. Just read some of the famous commentaries of the past and you see how many holes of theological understanding they had. Thing is, why? Because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in the body to prepare the church for his coming. That's as simple as that. See, God has a plan, and he releases the truth and revelation to those that have ear to ear and heart. Really, ear to ear comes because of their heart is open. So they wanted to have the heart open to be able to hear, and they are, you know, looking and focusing on the right thing instead of focusing on the things of the flesh or focusing on the world. That is for everybody to do. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm going to probably close on time soon because the time is running out here. Okay, says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Okay, well, you know, a child of God doesn't necessarily, is not a son of God yet. Okay, a child of God is an immature son. Okay, somebody that is just born again or is just starting there, and maybe 50 years ago got saved, but they never progress. He's still in diapers, spiritual diapers. And so what happens is that they are not going to be, you know, able to do the same thing than somebody that is developed and worked on himself and applied the word and this was discipleship, you know, got to. Okay, so that's what happens. So, you know, so the world doesn't know us, but we should be different inside. And we should start to think differently and operate differently, hopefully, as much as we can, depending on how far we went, how many decisions we made about crucifying the flesh. Because that's what is going to do it. You don't yield to the desire of the flesh. You don't yield to the thought of the world. You don't conform yourself to the world, but you are transformed and are empowered by the word, by the application of the word in you. Okay? So, says here, beloved, we are the children of God. See, right now, we are connected with God. See, if you are... Let's take this word, the children of God, son of God, and so on. You know, in the Bible, when it talks about things, always talk about spiritual things, not physical things. The physical things are just the result of spiritual things. So a child of God is somebody that was born of God. Naturally. But, you know, if you are born of God, means, you know, that you... in some way, start thinking the way, you know, God thinks. At least up to the spiritual level. Mentally, there is some fixing to do. Because, you know, when you are born again, your spirit is born again. But your body and your mind aren't. They need to be saved. And this is what God's about, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? Well, you can miss the boat. You can be distracted and go the wrong way and you lose everything. No matter what any theologians say about otherwise. There are so many, you know, why says fear and trembling? Otherwise you don't have to fear and trembling. Everything is going to be all right. But that's not Christianity, that's stupidity. I know lots of Christians that have lots of problems. Okay? So it depends on what many things or many factors and the way you are responding to the factors you are in. You know, we judge things in the physical way, by the physical. God doesn't. He judges things spiritually. You know, we look at somebody like Stephen. They was filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed of God, used by God in this day, you know, in the fourth chapter of Acts. And was there preaching, the day, and was stoned. And people, oh, poor guy. Was he poor guy, according to God? Was he poor guy about according to himself? Absolutely not. He was beaming of anointing as they were stoning him. He wasn't affected or hurt or anything because he was so much in communion with God that he was shining light. And Jesus was standing before him, and he saw Jesus standing before him. And the situation was so out of this world, because that's what it was so spiritual, that Paul couldn't get it out of his mind. And ended up being getting saved out of that. He just was so touched. But certainly somebody that judges things in the physical, oh, it's a terrible thing. But if you see the way he is now, he doesn't think it was such a terrible thing. And the fact is, he didn't think it was a terrible thing even at that day. Now, you know, what I'm saying to you, this is the reason is, you know, our way of judging things is always based on physical things. But if we start connecting with God, we are going to have a very different way of judging things, because we are starting to think the way God thinks. And some things that we kind of are afraid of, fear, they are not going to fear, you know, we are not going to fear anymore at all. And you're going to know when that happened. You know, when he got to opposition, he could have shut up and nothing would happen, possibly. But probably thrown in jail. What did he do? He just keep pushing. He gave the whole package to them, okay, that day, with his sermon. Why? Because he couldn't care less. See, what we care shows where we are at. Now, I was reading this, okay? Therefore, the world does not know him, okay? Beloved, you know, now we are the children of God, and has not been revealed what we shall be. You see, it's not just a question of we shall be different than what we are now, hopefully, if we are really growing spiritually, okay? But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Why? Because for we shall see him as he is. How are we going to be able to see him as he is? The only time when we are going to be able, when we understand, when we have received revelation and understanding on how Jesus operated, so that we can operate the same way. Otherwise, we cannot operate the same way. This is just a question of understanding and be able to apply to our life, so that, you know, John 14, 12 becomes a reality for us. And when that becomes a reality for us, he is coming back because we are ready. Or at least the people that prepare themselves. Because this is not going to happen automatically. I mean, it's going to, you know, there is going to be, you know, the wave of things happening and being available, but it's not going to be happening to everybody. It's the one that actually are willing to pay the price. But it's worth it. Are you still with me? See, that's the truth. This is all over the scriptures, all over the Bible says the same thing. This is not any different. This is one of the scriptures, but there are hundreds of other ones. And I'm going to show you actually how important to understand that we are spirit beings. And God wants to work in us so that what is in our spirit comes up to our heart completely. It transforms our heart and makes us clean and makes us ready. And it's not something, a religious activity that we do. It's not, you know, because we pray that many hours a day. It's not because we read the Bible that many hours. Not because we, you know, it's because we are in connection with God and we respond to what he directs us moment by moment. And that will manifest the same thing that was manifesting with Jesus when he's operating, because he was exactly operating the same way as we can operate. He came to give us the example on how to work things out. And, you know, at that time, when he was operating on earth. He didn't have a glorified body. He called himself the Son of Man because he was operating as man. And he called himself Son of Man many more times than the Son of God. But he was operating as the Son of God because the Son of God are going to operate that way too. Even if their body is not going to be a glorified body yet, but it's coming. Did you get the vision? Did you get the understanding of the implication of some of the things that the scriptures, they show us? See, when we do that, there's going to be a response from us. I don't want to know about it, or wait a minute, what am I going to do next? Okay, that determines the position of your heart. And it says the following verse, says, and everyone who has this hope, do you have this hope? Then he himself purifies himself just as he is pure. Hallelujah. You see, when you have expectation for that, the hope is a joyful and, confident expectation for that to happen, you're going to do something about it because it's worth it. When you got revelation of what that means, then it's going to be in you a desire, a natural desire to just line yourself up with him, because there is nothing more interesting, nothing more beautiful, nothing better than that. God's plan is the best thing that can happen to you. He's going to fulfill you, he's going to empower you, he's going to enable you to do things that otherwise you cannot do yourself. I think that we should close, be much longer. All right, so let's close in prayer. How many want to believe in me about that? So that we can be responding to what Jesus did. You see, it's not just a question of, say a little prayer and our sins are forgiven. That's the beginning of the blessings, but that's nothing compared to what exceedingly great and precious promises he has given us. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to make a way for us to grow in you, to be in relationship with you, to be transformed and empowered from little children of God to mature sons of God, manifesting your power in their lives, living according to the way Jesus lived, getting the same results that he got. And we just thank you today because we believe and we have this hope in us that this is possible for us to have. Thank you for your goodness, because it's not according to our goodness, but yours. Thank you for your love, because this is love poured out in our heart by your Holy Spirit. We just praise you and thank you and open ourselves up to you to guide us, to strengthen us, to open our eyes, and to motivate us, Lord, by your goodness, to grow and to listen to your voice and to go to the word and to use it to wash ourselves clean. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that empowers us and ensures us. Thank you, Lord, for your resurrection that demonstrates that this is true and that we are going to be resurrected the same way as you did. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.